Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. Hey guys, and welcome back, or if you're new here, thanks for tuning in. You may recall a couple of months ago I filmed a video in which I highlighted 4 Jane Doe cases that needed more attention, and this week is the turn of 3 John Doe cases. Often the smaller cases, the cases with less riveting, mysterious details, get overlooked or not talked about as much, so this series is my small attempt to correct that. Cases with less public detail aren't any less important than the rest. These are still people who need reuniting with their identities and, in some cases, need their murders solving. These cases are all based in the USA, and I do often get questions about why I cover so many USA cases, and the answer is pretty simple. It's a much, much bigger country than the UK with a much bigger population, which naturally means there are more cases to talk about. And the majority of my viewership is based in the USA as well, meaning most requests I get are for American cases. Don't worry though, I do have another Doe video lined up soon focusing on UK-based cases. First, I want to start with Snohomish County John Doe, or sometimes known as Salton Basin Road John Doe. I found the majority of information about this particular case in an article on heraldnet.com entitled "Who Am I? Clues Heat Up Search for a Name of Another John Doe" by Caleb Hutton. Now, this article was actually only posted about 3 weeks ago, which is a good sign that things are still moving in this case. People are still actively trying to find answers. On the 10th of April 2007, two surveyors were about 9.5 miles up Salton Basin Road in Salton, Washington, USA. It's not too far outside Seattle. They were exploring the area for a logging job that they hoped to get, taking shortcuts through the woodland. In an area at the bottom of a sheer cliff face that was clear no one had set foot in for years, about 400 yards from the road and 10 miles north of US 2, they came across a makeshift camp that wasn't visible from the road. Or actually, maybe camp is too much of a generous description. It was more of a shelter, a tarp draped from a rope, which was stretched between two trees. But of course, it wasn't only a shelter that they found. It wasn't long until the surveyor spotted what they assumed to be a human jawbone, one of the attached teeth complete with silver filling. They wasted no time in reporting what they'd found to the Salton Sheriff's Office. Investigators soon found the rest of the skull and an assortment of other human bones. As you may have deduced from the state of the body, this person had been dead for quite a while. It was estimated that he died any time between 2002 and 2007, but likely had been dead for at least a year considering the level of decomposition and the scattering of the bones. The state forensic anthropologist, Dr. Kathy Taylor, found that John Doe, as she soon deduced that the remains were that of a man, had likely died from a head injury. Or at least, if that's not what he died from, he definitely had a head injury very close to his time of death. Being in the woods, it's likely a tree branch fell on him, but it can't be ruled out that another human was involved in his death. Despite this though, the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office have stated that the cause and manner of death are undetermined. Dental forensics showed that John Doe had a crossbite at his canines, the filling was in a molar, and 2 lower right teeth had either been removed or just never grew in. But overall, this man had good dental health and didn't need much dental work done in his life. Obviously, they never found any dental charts which matched his. It was estimated that the man's age was anywhere between 20 and 50 years old, which is a pretty broad spectrum, and Doe Network states that he was white. A number of things were found at the campsite alongside the remains. Caleb Hutton writes for Herald Net that the clothing found were Air Jordan tennis shoes, two black and white flex hand gloves, which are the type that somebody might use for gardening, one grey sock, an off-white t-shirt, a blue fleece vest, a bluish Timberland beanie, and a green jacket. Namus also notes that a red, black and grey flannel shirt was found at the scene as well. Note that there's not a single pair of bottoms here. They didn't find any leg bones either, which has been noted as pretty odd. There were also plastic containers found at the scene, which Hutton suspects may have carried water, a plastic Coke bottle, a Gatorade bottle, and a blue antifreeze jug. There was also a dark-coloured backpack found near some of the clothing, which held a blue plastic razor and a hairbrush. In terms of actual camping gear, not much was found either. There was a Stanley knife, a silver and red torch, a yellow lighter, and a two-tone blue sleeping bag, dark blue on the outside and light blue on the inside. This was clearly somebody who was planning to camp. They're at least a little bit prepared for the possibility of sleeping outside. Maybe this was their entire lifestyle, or maybe this was a rare occasion. They didn't find any food at the camp, nor any wrappers or fire pit of any kind for cooking. Investigators suspect that John Doe may have been a hitchhiker and set up camp in this spot for just the night before intending to continue on his journey. Certainly, if he didn't have any food on him, he probably didn't intend to stay in this spot for too long, and this is a well-known area for transients. Or, of course, there's a possibility that in the potential years since his death, animals had taken any food they could possibly find in the area. And that's about all investigators had to work on. Obviously, there was no identification or personal sentimental items found at the scene. There was no clue as to who this man was, and they didn't even know what he looked like. That is until 2016, when a forensic artist and retired Kent police officer called Natalie Murray made her attempt to give John Doe a face. When you're working with just a skull, it's pretty hard to identify what features a person may have had, but Natalie used a technique in which she glued rubber pegs to his bone to estimate the thickness of his skin. This photo here is the original 2016 reconstruction of John Doe, with a wide face, boxy jaw and crooked nose. She said to Caleb Hutton though for the April 2021 article that she feels like this drawing just doesn't do the man justice knowing what she knows now, and she's learned much more about forensic reconstruction since 2016. Her newest drawing shows a similar man to the first photo but different. The jaw isn't as defined, the nose is more bulbous but still crooked, and the nostrils are at different levels. DNA analysis has confirmed that the man is likely white of European heritage, his eyes were likely green, light brown or hazel, and his skin probably would have been prone to sunburn and freckles. If anything is going to help solve this case at this point, 14 years after his discovery, it's probably going to be DNA. It seems that the DNA Doe Project, who do incredible things in Doe identification, are working on Snohomish John Doe's case, but things have stalled and there hasn't been any progress in a while. By 2009, experts had managed to extract mitochondrial DNA from the back of John Doe's skull to be entered into CODIS, and they extracted another nuclear DNA profile in 2011, but neither of these led to any matches in the database. In 2017 and 2018, they unsuccessfully tried to get a sample for whole genome sequencing. So instead, when that failed, they sent the man's jaw and hip bones to a private lab called DNA Solutions for further testing. There, DNA Solutions were able to recover 2.6 billionths of a gram of genetic material, which has since been uploaded to GEDmatch. In case you've never watched another of my Doe videos, GEDmatch is a non-profit company which focuses on genetic genealogy. People can upload their raw DNA data. A lot of people use it for family tree and ancestry purposes, but recently it's been in the news because a lot of crimes are getting solved via the DNA information uploaded to this site. So much so that users now have to opt in for their DNA to be used by investigators for this purpose. Since late 2019, a genealogist called Deb Stone has been working tirelessly to make link to Snohomish John Doe's genetic family, but she hasn't had any luck as of yet. Although she has found he has loose genetic ties to the Midwest, Texas and Louisiana, as well as some in the Pacific Northwest. They're essentially just waiting for a bigger match to hit. If a second cousin or closer relative uploaded their DNA profile to the site, it wouldn't take long to work through the family tree and come up with a name match. The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office are asking you to call the Snohomish County Medical Examiner's Office if you have any information about this case. I'll leave the number in the description box for both offices. The Sheriff's Office are asking people to come forward if they've reported somebody is missing over 5 years ago and they're still missing, to call them with the person's full name and date of birth to ensure they're still entered as a missing person. Apparently, some older cases have been inadvertently, accidentally removed from their database, and these are older cases which loved ones might still be wanting solved or may be linked to John Doe's case. So if you live in Snohomish County and you've reported anyone is missing over 5 years ago, give them a call.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The second case I want to talk to you about today is one which is much older, from March 1961. This is Bibb County John Doe, although it seems he's often referred to online as just Bibb, which I'll do throughout this video also. Although all stories of the missing, murdered and unidentified are sad, this one just really hits me in my soul for some reason. It was the 27th of March 1961 when a man was travelling on Alabama Highway 25 just south of Wilton, which is just over 36 miles south of Birmingham. He noticed a boy hitchhiking on the side of the road and decided to pick him up. Sadly, not long after the man picked the boy up, they were involved in a car crash when the car collided with the bridge rail and ended up plunging into the Cahaba River near River Bend in Bibb County. The boy died, his cause of death noted as drowning and a broken neck. He also broke his hand in two places as well. I say boy because Bibb was believed to be between the ages of 14 and 17. He was white with an olive complexion between 5'6 and 5'8, 120 pounds with light brown hair that appeared to be bleached. He had dark brown eyebrows and eyelashes and blue eyes. According to an FBI release, Bibb had a number of scars on his body, which I'll read out now. A small indented scar 1 inch above his right eyebrow, a scar on the left side of his forehead near the hairline, a 1 inch horizontal scar underneath his right kneecap, a horizontal scar 3 inches below his right kneecap, a 4 inch vertical scar above his right ankle, a small horizontal scar inside his right ankle across the bone, a 3 inch horizontal scar on the inside of one of his feet, and scratch scars on the exterior of his left forearm. These scars on his arms seem to spell out a phrase, RY plus love, or rye plus love. Just a small warning, I'm about to show a photo of this scarring. It doesn't read to me as self-harm in the typical sense, but it's still scars on the arm, so you have been warned. When you read about this case, a lot of sources will say this was a tattoo on his forearm, but that is not the case. This is a scarred pattern. It was also released by the FBI that Bibb may have walked with a slight limp, exerting more pressure than usual on the ball of his right foot. Examination in his autopsy showed that the bones around the ankle joint were enlarged due to a fracture, and this may have led to a restriction of movement. The majority of the scars I just detailed are also on his right leg. I find myself wondering if he got into some kind of bad accident before this bad accident, which led to the fracture and all the scarring. He was dressed in a white cotton dress shirt, light blue dress trousers, a brown leather belt with a silver horsehead buckle, a black dress coat and tan 10-inch high moccasin-toed boots. He also wore a Timex wristwatch and a miraculous medal of the Immaculate Conception tied around his neck with cotton twine. This is a piece of jewellery often worn by Catholics with the belief that it will bring special graces from the Virgin Mary, so he may well have been Catholic. In his possessions, Bibb had a single pack of Pall Mall cigarettes, a brown plastic billfold, a penny box of matches and a small key. A man's ruby ring with the inscription United States Army was also found in the car and likely belonged to Bibb, but they can't be too sure. He carried a small brown leatherette suitcase which contained his clothing. On a few items of this clothing were cleaning and laundry tags, clearly having been freshly cleaned. Luckily, the driver of the car did manage to survive the incident, meaning he was able to give some information about the now John Doe. Inconveniently, it doesn't seem that the boy ever shared his name with the driver on their short journey together, but he did share some information about his travel. He said that he'd been hitchhiking through Alabama and they wanted to head to Tuscaloosa. Apparently, the end goal of his journey was to be in Fort Ord, California by 7 a.m. on March 30th, and he said he'd come from a town in South Carolina. After making public requests for information, investigators concluded that Bibb had ridden with three different motorists on the afternoon of his death. He shared with one of these drivers that his parents had separated, but he had relatives between Montebello, Alabama and South Carolina, and had been staying with these relatives for several days trying to find work, but was unsuccessful, so decided to move on. In a separate conversation with another one of the motorists, it's thought that he may have been connected to the military service, even though it's thought that he may have been too young to serve, or he may have been an inmate of an institution. That's all information that's provided in the FBI release I mentioned before, but other sources do provide further details. Doe Network says that he told the driver that he'd run away from home after his parents separated, and he was then faced with the choice of living in an orphanage or joining the Navy. He says he didn't care where he was going. He may well have been from South Carolina, as he told one driver he had relatives there, and his cigarette packet apparently had a South Carolina tax stamp on it, but whether that's where he grew up or it's just where he'd been staying, we don't know. His clothing indicated that he may have been from up north, which is not South Carolina. He obviously had no idea on him at all, but according to WVUA23.com, inside Bibb's wallet was a girl's picture with the words, "Think of me always and remember how we used to go places together." This photo has never been published as far as I can find, and I'm a bit confused as to why. If nobody recognised Bibb, perhaps somebody would have recognised the girl and the girl would know who he was. It was clear that at some point, someone had loved this boy very much. After he was recovered from the lake and his autopsy had taken place, authorities took his body to the Rocco Funeral Home Chapel, where it stayed for several days for public viewings. Hundreds of people came from all around to see if they recognised the boy, but nobody ever did. According to a local resident and journalist called Jim Oakley, there was one visitor who came twice, all alone. She was a woman in her 60s with grey hair, a little heavyset apparently. She looked at the body for ages, much longer than anyone else, and returned the next day and did the same. But then she never returned. Photos, headshots of Bibb were taken and widely published in the hope of finding someone who recognised him. But of course, there was no luck. I don't usually post post-mortem photos in my videos, but I do think they can be helpful with Doe cases. So here's your warning, I'm about to post some. They're not graphic at all, Bibb could just be sleeping. For decades, there was no movement in this case. He was buried in the Centerville Cemetery weeks after his death, after the local community funded his burial. His headstone reads, unknown, killed in automobile accident, March 27th, 1961. Unknown in life, but recognised in death. And Bibb has never been forgotten. In June 2016, the authorities exhumed and swiftly reburied Bibb's body in order to get a sample of his DNA, which was then to be sent to a lab for analysis at the University of North Texas, all paid for by the Center for Missing and Exploited Children. By October 2016, the Bibb County Sheriff's Office were notified that the DNA testing had been unable to provide any answers. There were no matches to any samples available in their database. However, they do now have his DNA on file to compare to later samples. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have created a facial reconstruction of what this boy may have looked like in life. If you ask me, I don't think this looks too much like the postmortem photos at all, but I'm not the expert here. There are other renderings though, which I do think are a lot more accurate in this case. This is now 60 years old, and with each year that passes, we're less likely to get a positive identification, with people who knew him in life potentially nearing the end of theirs. And that generation are a bit less likely to upload their raw DNA data to sites like GEDmatch. As far as I can find, it doesn't look like the DNA Doe Project have taken on his case yet, but of course there is time for them too, and I would love to see them take on this story. Perhaps he has siblings who are wondering what happened to their brother. Maybe they think he did go into the army and just never came home, but that wasn't his fate.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The final John Doe case I want to share with you today is that of Siwash County John Doe. I wanted to cover this one specifically because there's been an absolutely fantastic reconstruction photo of him, one that looks like an actual person, and you don't see that too often. I feel like reconstructions like the one you will see soon for this case are invaluable. It was the 19th of October 2002 when the remains of an unidentified man were found by a hunter on horseback just off of Colorado State Highway 114 in Siwash County, off a dirt road pretty much in the middle of nowhere. It seems like the kind of place somebody would dump a body in a movie. He was found wrapped in a handmade antique quilt, which was then wrapped again in black plastic secured with duct tape. The quilt had a multicoloured print and was fairly distinctive. Whilst I couldn't find detailed information on the state of the remains, Doe Network just states that he was decomposed, and the estimated date of death is 2002, so the same year in which he was found. He probably died a few weeks to a few months before he was found. The cause of death was determined to be homicide by 2 gunshots to the head. John Doe was estimated at 30 to 40 years old, although some sources do stay older, 6'5", 225 to 300 pounds, with brown hair and an unknown eye colour. The FBI states that he is of an unknown race and ethnicity, although both NAMIS and Doe Network state that he is white or Caucasian. There were no dental details available as the victim had no teeth and dentures were not found at the scene. All in all, information about this particular case is vague, but it does seem solvable and it's still an open case with the FBI. John Doe was found wearing a Harley Davidson t-shirt with Fort Washington, Maryland printed on the back and black briefs. It's suspected that he may have been killed in his sleep, possibly due to his half-dressed state. Not long before the body was discovered, there was a Hell's Angels rally held in Gunnison, which according to a Reddit post by user Travel Racer is an hour and 38 minutes from where the body was found. The obvious connection here is that the man was discovered in a Harley Davidson t-shirt and Hell's Angels usually ride Harley Davidson bikes. But of course, a lot of people own Harley items without being affiliated with Hell's Angels or even motorbikes in general. but is a theory that he may have been connected with the rally and met with foul play whilst there or shortly after. This would have been a guy who stood out in a crowd, quite literally. He was 6'5" and he had no teeth, so he probably wore dentures. They're quite identifiable features. But obviously there was no ID or any identifiable personal items found with the body. There have been multiple facial reconstruction images over this man released over the years, but this digital rendering is possibly one of the best I've ever seen in any case. Of course, we won't know how accurate it is until we get an identification, but I feel like this kind of 3D lifelike rendering is so important. John Doe looks like an actual man rather than just a drawing. It instantly makes him more recognisable, and I would love to see this kind of thing done in more cases. If you've been listening to this via my podcast, I will leave some links in the show notes in case you want to go see these reconstructions and photos. But there you have it. 3 John Doe cases which need more attention. I feel like a broken record at this point, but it's so important to remember that all of these victims were once living, breathing people with lives of their own. Loved ones who maybe still think about them from time to time, wondering where they are. Or maybe their loved ones do more than that, maybe they've never stopped searching, but their voices have slipped through the cracks. There's only 2 ways that these cases are going to get solved. Through DNA matching, which, let's face it, the standard person can't help too much with, unless you want to upload your own DNA data to GEDmatch. Or through sharing these stories. The more people that hear about cases such as these, the more chance we have of the right person hearing it. Maybe someone will recognise a photo or a scar or a tattoo. As I mentioned before, all of the relevant contact details for each Doe will be found in the description box on YouTube or on my podcast in the show notes. Thank you so much for watching this video. Please share these stories, especially if you're from any of the areas in which I've mentioned in today's video. You never know who might recognise something. And I suppose I will see you in the next one. Bye guys.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.